Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mike Florio is brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. He's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. NBC Sports, Mike Florio is with us. Mike, my question is, should we compliment the NFL for being decisive in moving the Monday night game out of Mexico City, or should we criticize the NFL for letting it get this close, for cutting it this close?
I think that it should be more criticism than compliment, not just because that's my nature, but I think that they ultimately did what they had no choice but to do. That's how bad it was, because as of yesterday, they were quote-unquote determined to play the game in Mexico City because, yes, they're the NFL. That's how they are. And there isn't a brick wall that they aren't willing to run their head into. But I think, again, poor planning, no proaction by the NFL, always reaction. And what were they thinking when the concert that happened on October the 11th that tore the field up, what did they think was going to happen? Elves were going to show up in the middle of the night and make the field better? It wasn't going to get better over the course of the next month with soccer matches played there. I mean, that was the moment the NFL needed to intervene and do major surgery on that surface to get it to an NFL quality. The pictures are horrendous. It looks like that one lot in every neighborhood where the house was torn down and all that's left is some combination of grass and weeds and rocks and gravel and dirt. You don't want to play football on that. So, yes, they got it right because they had no other choice. Why did it take so long to get to that point? This should have been resolved weeks ago.
So what does that mean for the future of games like this?
Well, I don't know. I wonder what it means for the future of Mark Waller. He's the guy who's in charge of the international series at the NFL, and I have a feeling he's going to take the sword on this one. It just, you know, the NFL doesn't like to fire people as a reaction because then that admits that, hey, we really screwed this up. So maybe he ends up in a different job somewhere in the NFL's equivalent of Siberia. But the message is, if you're going to be hell-bent on playing these games in other countries, you better be damn sure that they have the facilities necessary to allow the games to be played so that it looks exactly like an NFL game on any field in the United States. And they've pulled that off at Wembley. Even though what they left behind at Wembley was kind of a mess, so maybe there's a certain karma in all of this, because then they had to play soccer the next day on the field that had been torn up by three straight Sundays of NFL games. But when we watch those games coming out of London, they look no different than any other game. I think that's what it has to be, because there's still an American fan base that consumes those games. And if playing in another country results in a dramatically different feel than what we're used to, that's where people in the U.S. are going to rebel against this. And there's already that sense that they're taking our sport and they're exporting it to other countries, and we don't want that. And it's hard to push back against that if they're not going to have the best possible conditions on which these games are played.
I've read about whispers of player protests or boycotts for this game. Did they have an impact on the NFL moving this around, or was it more just the situation in Mexico?
I think that did have an impact, even though it would be essentially an illegal wildcat strike for the players to say we're not showing up. Think about what a bad look that would be from a PR standpoint. And there's one wrinkle in all this. It makes me wonder how much the NFL knew there could be an issue, because next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, the Rams and the Chiefs have a bye. They're the only teams that have a bye that weekend. Typically, the byes are done before Thanksgiving. But look, hey, conveniently, if something had happened Monday night and the field had been unplayable, you could just do the Rams-Chiefs game the following Sunday in L.A. I wonder whether that deliberately was done to provide a fallback in the event that all hell had broken loose for the NFL and the players show up and say, we're not going out on that field. And that scheduling quirk, really, it just really makes me think they may have had a concern that something like that could happen.
So Mitchell Trubisky wins Week 10 NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That was just announced before we got on the air. Mike, last week we were talking about the national perception of Mitch as a couple of people had come down on the guy. This week he's the hero of the NFC. Is that just life in the NFL, or has a corner really been turned?
I don't know. I mean, it's something that has to be done on a regular basis. He's been compared unfavorably to Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson for good reason. They were all drafted in the same, you know, 9 spots, and Trubisky was the first guy taken, 10 spots from 2 to 12. Trubisky at 2, Mahomes at 10, and Watson at 12. And so there's an expectation that Trubisky is going to justify that draft status by being as good as Mahomes and Watson. And for Mahomes and Watson, it isn't a periodic flash. It's a sustained level of success that we say, wow, these guys are the real deal. And I think Trubisky has to do it several times in a row to get to the point where we say, wow, this guy's the real deal. I mean, he's already tied the franchise record for 300-yard games in a season, which I guess, given the Bears' history of quarterbacks, not, you know, I mean, really, what's it really saying? But it's that kind of performance he needs to string together. And this is his chance, Sunday night, prime time. And you know, what was Mike Lombardi's criticism of him? Well, they haven't played anybody. Well, they're playing somebody Sunday night. They're playing one of the best defenses in the NFL that's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. This is Trubisky's chance to have a coming out party. And remember, he played the Vikings well in the Monday night game last year. Didn't he played in that game, right? The Monday night game, Bears-Vikings, and it was actually a, you know, a close, exciting game. This is his chance to really put everyone on notice that this wasn't a fluke, and he's ready to join that short list of franchise quarterbacks.
The Bears will always be linked to the Raiders because of the Khalil Mack deal, because of all the hoopla surrounding John Gruden's return. And you got guys there. I don't know if you saw the quotes coming out of that locker room where one player turned to another in front of a reporter and said, I got to get the F out of here. That there is absolute the abandonment of the ship there with what's going on. You've got the Carr family talking about things. How bad can it get? Even if we think, okay, they're going fallow, they're going to try to build it back up. At what point is it so bad that it can't get better?
Well, I look at the Browns. I mean, until it's Browns level, it can't get better. And even then, what's Mark Davis going to do? Is he going to fire John Gruden 1 year into a 10-year, $100 million contract?
No.
I mean, that's one of the problems of signing someone to a contract that long. If it is a disaster, you're stuck. What do you do? And Mark Davis said earlier this week, blame me. Well, that's like Jed York, the 49ers owner, a couple of years ago saying, hold me accountable. How do you hold the owner accountable? You can't fire the owner. And this is a complete and total mess. And I think it all traces back to the way that John Gruden mishandled Khalil Mack. And I know Mark Davis tries to say it was his call, but when you put Gruden in charge, you're going to do whatever Gruden tells you to do. And if Gruden comes to you and says, we got to pay this guy in February, we got to see where the ball's moving here, we got to forget about the fact that we've paid Derek Carr $25 million. We've got the cash, we've got the cap space to pay Khalil Mack what he wants. We've got to do it. Otherwise, this is going to unfold in a very bad way for us. And they assumed he was going to play at 13.8 this year, and then they'd worry about him next year. And that's where they assumed wrong. And that's Gruden's call. That's not Mark Davis's call. And I feel like for Gruden, you know, it was like that Conor McGregor fight a month and a half ago where he comes strutting into the ring and then the fight starts. Like, Gruden goes strutting into Oakland and then the first real fight is Mack, and it knocked him wobbly right at the start of the season. And I feel like that has caused this whole calamity that we've seen unfold for the Raiders, that once he got knocked down by Mack, they just can't get back up. And, you know, for the Raiders, the only hope is they'll have a high draft pick next year, and they'll know how to use those draft picks to get good players, not bad players, on that roster as they get ready to go to Las Vegas.
But speaking of those draft picks, I saw this information today tweeted by a producer named Bill Zimmerman over at SiriusXM. He said, revisiting the Mack trade, the Bears gave up, as we know, the ones in 2019 and 2020, a third in 2020, and a 2019 sixth. They get Mack, a second in 2020, and a fifth in 2020. And he uses the old-fashioned NFL draft point system and says, if the Bears draft in the 22 to 28 range and the Raiders draft in top 5 to 7 the next 2 years, and I think it's conservative on both ends there, Mike, that would mean that if you boil down, if you reduce the equation, the Bears got Khalil Mack straight up for the 17th pick of the first round.
That's a pretty good deal if you can get it, because
right.
the whole idea is to try to flip those picks into great players. When you have a lottery ticket that you've yet to scratch, and you have one that you've scratched and it's a winner, you don't trade those straight up. And that the whole they just they Look, and the message from Mark Davis, I wrote about this on Monday. When Mark Davis says, number one, we moved on from Khalil Mack because it's clear he wasn't going to show up this year. Number two, we traded Amari Cooper because he has the same agent and we didn't want a repeat of it next year. The message to every player and agent out there is, go ahead and play hardball with the Raiders because there's a pretty good chance they're going to blink and you're going to win because they did it twice in a matter of weeks.
I wonder with Le'Veon Bell, who I don't know if he blinked or didn't blink. I don't know which truck he is in a game of chicken here. But he's trying to set some sort of precedent. And I just don't know that he's ever going to be able to do it because he's a running back. I'm pro player. I like quixotic behavior. I don't know that any of that, because of who he is, the strikes he has against him, and the position he plays, I don't know that any of it is going to be a precedent for future contracts. Do you?
No, I think it will be. And really? I don't think he came into the year believing he was going to skip the whole season. I think it was a chain of events that ultimately caused him to realize my best play is to sit out. Once the Steelers in the league leaked to their own reporters last week that even if Bell sits out the whole year, the Steelers have to apply the quarterback franchise tender, and that gives him the path to free agency. And I think that came from a desire by the Steelers for him to not show up. Now that he's in this posture and he gave up ultimately the last $6 million he would have made to keep himself healthy, I think, now I don't know this, but if he has a good agent, and I'll give Adisa Bakari the benefit of the doubt and say he's a good agent, Adisa Bakari already has an idea of who's going to pay him next year. That is an extension of the tampering that happens all the time. Yeah. As free agency approaches, as a guy gets a request from the team to take less money or you'll be cut, you gauge the market. You find out what else is out there before you tell the team yes or no to the reduced pay opportunity. And I think a team like the Jets is going to have the cannon loaded with cash and cap space. I look at it this way. Every year, we see good players hit the open market and get great contracts on the first day of free agency. When a great player hits the open market, what happens? We don't know, because that never happens. I probably made this point with you guys after Khalil Mack trade at some point. If the Bears are paying him $23.5 million per year, more than any other defensive player in the NFL, and giving up what they're giving up to get him, how much would they have paid him if they didn't have to give that stuff up, if he was truly a free agent, mm-hmm. day one, open market? It's going to be more than $23.5 million per year. So Bell is going to be the rare great player, 26 years old. He turns 27 in late February. No wear and tear from 2018. Hits the open market. And I think we're going to be surprised. I'm not going to be surprised. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at how much he gets.
Are we ignoring the size of the story that Tom Brady may actually be in decline?
I think we may be, because the Patriots are still winning, right? And I don't know what we blame the reduced performance on. Remember, he tied $5 million in extra compensation this year to being in the top five in five key passing categories, and he's currently not in the top five in any of them. And one of the reasons is there are so many quarterbacks who are outperforming him. Now, is that because Patrick Mahomes has Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Drew Brees has Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and Tom Brady has whoever's healthy enough to line up on any given Sunday? I mean, there's an argument to be made that Brady is making chicken salad in New England. But still, last year, he was in the top five in all of those categories, and this year, he's not. And as the rest of the NFL is having this explosion of passing statistics, he's not. And at some point, Father Time's going to beat him. I mean, I'm not rooting for it to happen. I think this is great to see an older guy who is performing like this. But at some point, Father Time is going to beat him. And before he beats him, he's going to catch up on him. And it could be that we're seeing Father Time start to, you know, have that kick to the finish line. And this is how it happens. It doesn't happen quickly. It happens very slowly. That may be what's happening.
I know when you're trying to sell $20 bottles of electrolyte water and $80 yoga mats and you're the vibrating pliability
pajamas.
Sphere.
Performance pajamas.
That's right. PJs, too.
The performance pajamas. I know that it's not necessarily on brand for him at this point. So he's got to live in a completely different world where he and his trainer are selling eternal life.
And you know what? Yeah, you're right. And it's only going to last for so long. And I'm going to be fascinated to see what other teams do with the film that was generated by the Titans this week. Mike Vrabel explained to me after the game that, you know, the goal was make make the Patriots fight for every yard, take away the easy access throws that Tom Brady likes to make. He likes to spread you out and make a quick 7-8 yard throw and just chip his way down the field. If you pounce on those, if you hit those guys, if you out-physical them in every phase, that's a way to beat them. And maybe it's easier said than done. But they got some tough games coming up against teams like the Vikings and the Steelers. It'll be interesting to see what those defenses do by way of trying to duplicate what the Titans did. And also in the postseason, will defenses learn from what Vrabel did, and will we see a quick exit from the Patriots this year? And I think how we view Tom Brady and where he is in his career is going to be tied directly to how the team does this year.
Mike, thanks as always. We'll talk next week.
See you guys.
Mike Florio, brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Another year stuck paying your timeshare's annual maintenance fees. If your timeshare is no longer working for you and you need out, call Timeshare Exit Team, 844-915-EXIT, 844-915-EXIT, or visit timeshareexitteam.com.
There's a text in from the 630. Here's the deal. The Raiders with Khalil Mack would still be bad. We talked a lot about the Raiders with Florian. Guys, quit. I mean, the Mack trade was the beginning of people quitting.
It wasn't
on
just
John Gruden.
Yeah, it wasn't Bruce Irvin and all that. You saw the film. You saw guys just not trying.
Watch the Niners game. They damn well quit.
They stopped trying. And the fact that Gruden immediately afterwards said, oh, we don't have a pass rush. I don't know how we're going to get a pass rush. We're going to get a pass rush.
They may not have ever been good. I'm not saying that the Raiders were going to be a 10-win team with Khalil Mack and John Gruden or anything. But you've gone so far to the other side of having otherwise decent players, decent enough, good NFL, but quit.
When we come back, I have a tale of two players, player A and player B in the NFL.
Okay.
We're going to compare these players, and on the reveal, it's going to make a critical point that I think is not being seen.
Makes so sense to me.
I'm going to set this up. I'm going to give you player A. I'm going to give you player B, and then I'm going to give you an aha and members of aha.
That's next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
I love a good Trubinsky. You know, it just hits home. It pushes all the right buttons.
Doesn't matter how many NFC Offensive Player of the Week awards he wins.
Congratulations.
He will always have an N thrown into the middle of that last name.
One of the best quarterback games in Chicago Bears history was posted by Mitchell Trubisky
last
week.
Two
of the best quarterback
this year
games in
have
Chicago
been posted
Bears history.
By Mitchell Trubinsky.
All right, I'm going to give you two players. Do you need to get your little mechanical pencil?
Yeah,
out
no, I got it. I got it. What do you mean little mechanical? Why the pejorative? It's a regular sized mechanical pencil.
Okay, I know. It's like you're keeping score here as you're doing a talk show. You have to have your little, you know.
It's a conversation. It's a competition.
And you occasionally
not done it till I win.
You'll erase something for some reason.
I doodle while I talk and think.
Okay. I sit here and arrange
I can't
papers.
Draw.
I arrange papers at 90 degree angles to each other. That's, you know.
That one's off.
I know.
You
got to
fix that. Would you fix that angle? Yeah, see, that's, you know, it gets all kind of weirded out when I do that. All right, what do you got? Player A, player B? Player
A. I'm breaking into Gene Rayburn here. Dumb Dora is so dumb. Player A, 291 pass attempts, 2,262 passing yards, 224 rushing yards, 23 total touchdowns. All right?
Yeah, 23 touchdowns. Okay.
Total touchdowns.
What were the rushing yards again?
224.
224. Gotcha.
Player B, almost an identical number of passing attempts, 290. Player B has more passing yards, 2,304. Has more rushing yards, 100 yards more, 320. And has 22 total touchdowns.
Okay.
All right. So player B, more yards on the same number of attempts, 100 more rushing yards, and one less touchdown.
Okay.
All right. So you got it.
Player B. Yeah, I would. Player B is obviously going to be Mitch Trubisky.
Nice, because you know the numbers.
The 22 touchdowns. Yeah, I figured that it's. I know we had just talked about that.
Correct.
Rick and you and I were going back and forth about that on Monday, so that's stuck into my brain. Now, I know that the only quarterback with more rushing yards this season than Mitch Trubisky is Cam Newton.
It is not a quarterback from this season.
Oh, interesting.
It's a quarterback through 10 games of last season.
Okay, so using context clues and the repeated screaming you've done for him to have the Jared Goff season of last year, I will then ask you whether that's Jared Goff last season?
It's not.
Damn!
It is, through 10 weeks of 2017, the quarterback who was the MVP favorite at the time.
Come on, really?
That's 2017 Carson Wentz.
No kidding.
So Mitchell Trubisky, in some ways, this guy, everybody thinks he sucks, he's outstripping the guy who last year at this time was believed to be your clubhouse leader for most valuable player in the NFL.
No kidding. Do you think that the way the 2017 Eagles began the season, that things were just so automatic? Or do you think even the way the Chiefs began this year or the Rams began this year, that things were just so automatic that it's easier to overlook some of the likely misses, some of the actual, you know, throws that either went awry or went over people's heads or whatever, that we've clearly seen Mitch have struggles with the first couple weeks of the year?
I think it's only because we've watched all of the throws. I think if we were to go back and actually watch every throw that Carson Wentz made, he's got fewer yards on the same number of passes. That's the guy that had two forced fumbles and an interception last week, veteran Bears cornerback Prince Amukamara. And you say, Bernstein, where'd you find that stat? Well, a good follow on Twitter, Mike Garrigan, who's a Rockford sportscaster, who also...
Mike Garrigan.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple of accounts, but that's Mike Garrigan 3, I think the numeral 3. And he's,
it's not burners like Kevin Durant has.
I don't think so, but he's sort of there with, you know, with Scott from Davenport and Chris Kampka, a lot of these guys that will find things, will mine through a lot of the sports data to come up with interesting statistical comparisons and quirks and notes, and he's one of those follows who is very, very solid
that
in
good
that
stuff.
Regard. Hey, if you want something to do tomorrow night.
I do.
Yeah, check this out. If you're around Woodridge, Illinois, okay, you want to be at Leo's Wine and Spirits. It's 3018 Hobson Road in Woodridge on Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. You say, well, why? What do I get? What do I win? It's part of the UV Vodka Turkey Bowl. You can stop into Leo's. You can not only meet the Scores, Jay Zawoski.
What pleasure.
Yes, in and of itself, that should be enough.
It is. It's not enough.
It's not enough?
No, it is.
No, you meet Jay Zawoski.
But there's more.
And you can browse the wine and spirits. And you can be in good spirits. You can buy a bunch of things. You can enter for the chance to win the experience of a lifetime, an opportunity to play a football game with your friends at Soldier Field the day after Thanksgiving. It is 670 The Score's Turkey Bowl at Soldier Field. It's sponsored by UV Vodka.
Be square or be there.
Or as they say, mix the moment.
Appreciate the texter who caught the Always Sunny reference. And going through some of these texts, I am seeing a lot of people put in the Cam Newton reference. A lot of people put in the Jared Goff reference, and some people put in the Deshaun Watson reference to your player A, player B, Mike Garrigan stat there. Find it interesting that all of those, nobody's texting in bad quarterbacks. That's of note here, right? I mean, the stats
true. Clearly,
they stand...
We've reached a certain
they
point.
They stand on their own, right? I mean, all this crap that we keep spewing or that I keep spewing over the last week about how the bar of bad game for Mitch Trubisky has been raised. It's gone up. A bad game for this kid isn't the typical bad quarterback game for the Bears.
They are not
that
texting
matters.
In bad quarterbacks. You're right.
That matters.
Or in the case of Mike Leach, they're not texting in bad company.
Which a big fan, right?
I was a little surprised to hear him mention bad company in that particular group,
catch
that cloud.
Bad company, Jethro Tull.
Did you catch the dad moment he had when listing the bands? He called them Lynyrd Skynyrds.
Yes, Skynyrds. Right, that's like
Lynyrd Skynyrds.
That's right.
Yeah, that's like a tribute band or something. That's awesome. I did, but I forgot to mention it. Also, Bad Company is on a list, right? Bad Company is on the list of bands that had a song that was also the name of their band. Bad Company sings Bad Company.
It could be said, and I'm racking my brain. I don't know any other song that Bad Company did.
You do.
I likely do, but
you
I do. Don't know that it's Bad Company. A lot of those bands for me went away. We were just talking about this. Those bands went away because Nirvana showed up. in the early 90s.
Different, though. That was more like...
But you got to remember the confluence that, like, at that moment, it wasn't because Nirvana did what they did to Twisted Sister and hair bands of the time.
Okay, but wait, you know, Feel Like Making Love.
Oh, that's Bad Company?
Good Lovin' Gone Bad.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Shooting Star, Can't Get Enough.
Shooting Star.
Yeah.
Does that one go? It's not the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, right?
No, that's Shining Star.
Shining Star.
That was done by Simon and Garfield.
Garfield, that's right, Simon and Garfield. We never got along together, just like the Warriors.
Yeah, Shooting Star's like a power,
oh,
slower power.
Oh, don't you know that you are it? Yeah, okay, yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Don't you know?
There's some good riffs in there.
So, but other than, there was Big Country had a song called In a Big Country, right? That's the Scottish band with the bagpipes.
Yes,
in it.
Yes, I know that song.
Like a lover's voice, cross a mountainside, stay alive.
Why you know all the lyrics?
I don't
that
know.
Song.
I mean, '80s. There's a big early video thing for.
Yeah, but
big
you
country.
Never had. You never sat down on a web page playing "End of the World as We Know It" over and over again until you knew every word to the song. You didn't have that capability. I'm not saying I did. I did.
No, I just would rewind the cassette over and over again.
I guess that makes sense.
Yes, we had cassette
tapes.
But
like some of the lyrics you can't hear. Like I, for the first time last night, just found out you'd argue over the lyrics.
Sure.
Man.
That's what you did with R.E.M.
That's after
the series of albums when they were slurring their words on purpose. Because the first three R.E.M. albums, was it Murmur, Life's a Rich Pageant, and Fables of the Reconstruction?
Yeah, that's the first three.
Then it was on purpose. You couldn't hear what he was saying, and he was mumbling everything. You didn't know what the hell he was talking
about. It's like California alt-pop in the 2000s. All you do is pronounce vowels. Or any of those Boston kid bands that just pronounce vowels over and over.
I still think we should work it in, or the morning show should work it in. There is the great Michael Stipe little thank you, Ray. That they could, when Mulligan always says thank you to Ray, at the end of one of those, it might have been, is it Radio Free Europe at the end of the song? You just hear a thank you, Ray.
Could be.
Sort of quiet like that. John in Woodridge, you're on the score. What's up, John?
Yes, I read in the paper this morning, and of course, we all know that the Bears, when the schedule they have is a short turnaround.
Yes.
And for the fans that's listening, the NFL really doesn't give a hoot, I think, about the players.
Right.
You know, there's frivolous lawsuits all the time about goofy things. But the fans buy season tickets because they're hoping their team makes it to the Super Bowl. With short turnarounds, the body can't take that. If Aaron Rodgers got hurt, would the Bears love that? If Trubisky got hurt, would the Vikings love that? If Cousins got hurt? And I think the players' union ought to look, when players get injured on short turnarounds, that they ought to sue.
Well, they can't because
they've agreed to it. They've already in the CBA
agreed in via collective bargaining.
Well, then the fans, the season ticket holders who are hoping to see a Super Bowl team, and they lose a Trubisky or something like that. That's what I'm saying about the frivolous lawsuits. I mean, we all know if you lose key players, what's your chances?
John. What do you mean by frivolous lawsuits? If you're advocating
for
a football lawsuit?
No. You hear that there's always some kind of frivolous lawsuit, and that is not frivolous. But I'm saying
or frivolous.
That's why I'm saying that.
John, I just want to be real. I love you. Thank you for calling. I have thoroughly enjoyed the time.
That was two good ones.
Connor's gotten that reaction to that phrase before.
Those were right there for you, unironic.
It never fails. It never fails. It's incredible.
You get an acquired taste for something, and then there's very few things that can satisfy quite like that acquired taste.
And you felt it too, right? As soon as we picked up the phone, your antenna goes up. You could feel Rick reacting in the background, and Jay's getting ready on the thing.
We might get one here.
This could be it. It's like casting for that fish, right? You're just pulling it back, and you see it coming. You're not sure if she's going to hit.
It's like the follow from the muskie.
You got to do your figure eight that McNeil's always yelling about, and then you get your Trubisky.
It's almost more than it's almost more exotic than that because it's rarer. It's like hunting the kelp forests for apples. abalone or something, or like diving for sea urchins. Like you see something that you've harvested something. They can't take it away from you. We could go sell it at market.
I'm never quite disappointed when it doesn't happen.
We have fresh Trubinsky that we can sell, or like hunting for morel mushrooms, or you know, like it's
all that
seasonal.
Hard work is finally paid off. You know, there's a certain realm from which you're going to get the Trubinsky.
Is it more or less fun than McGowan?
I think it's more fun.
It's not as tortured, because McGowan was
at least
at
we
its
got
peak,
more varieties.
Tortured.
We did get McGowan, McCown,
it's
McGowan.
True.
Like there was everything.
There are more variations. But
a good pure Trubinsky.
Oh God,
you it's so delicious. You can drizzle it over pancakes.
I was going to just say it's like truffle oil, right?
Just so thick and rich.
It's so good. And we've got more calls to come, I think, leading up to the top of the hour. I've got some very special things for our midday midway, and I'm sorting through them. I have something that is going to make you cringe.
Okay.
I have something that I've specifically chosen because you don't like
very
it.
Much looking forward to talking about snakes then. I have a tale about a lobster.
You're a smart man. Yeah. You're a very, very smart man. 312-644-6767. God, that was good. I have a sort of refractory period now.
I want some sort of after-dinner mint or something, a nice drink to wash that down.
And a little Anisette and a snifter.
That would be fine. That would be absolutely fine.
I don't even smoke, and I wouldn't mind a smoke.
Cigarette after that? Maybe just be light up a cigar.
Bernstein and McKnight, you have the score.
Well, how do you think Trubinsky did?
Bring it home.
Oh, just the payoff. Yeah. It's just, you know, you feel like you got one.
Was
and
that
then you
or
get
me?
One.
Going to,
tough to tell.
You can hear the moment of ecstasy
both,
there.
Both felt the same way, though. Just yes. Oh, let me have it.
A thought from Rudy, who says, as dumb as a fan suing the NFL because Thursday night football sucks, the lawsuit would still probably generate more money than the NHL concussion settlement, which amounted to approximately $12 after attorney's fees.
You imagine a class action lawsuit from Bears fans and just how many spelling mistakes that would have in it? Just ends everywhere.
However,
it'd be an anarchist brief.
It would be the first class action lawsuit submitted via suburban billboard. George is in Old Town. He's on the score.
Hey, guys. I wanted to say one thing that we don't talk about is Mitch Trubisky's leadership qualities. I feel that he really just goes about his business. He takes on Nagy's new offense. He's a 24-year-old young man that's able to tell these guys in the huddle that I'm in control. His pinpoint accuracy finally came to the forefront.
I don't think he's really telling them he's in control. I think he's calling a play.
Yeah, he is calling a play, but look at it. When they start the first half, what's happening when he gets the ball, when they elect to give the Bears the ball? He's driving them down for a touchdown, so he's focused. He's absorbing
that's quarterback. I guess he's doing his job.
I think to a certain degree, especially from the quarterback spot, leadership correlates with success.
Yeah, I think completing passes, any good quarterback is going to look like a good leader.
All the time? I guess, exceptions prove rules.
I mean,
exceptions prove rules.
But you put the ball in the end zone. I guess the question, George, is if he's running to start the game, to use your example, he's running a series of scripted plays in the no-huddle offense that they have designed as their game plan. How do you differentiate execution from leadership?
Well, how do you differentiate execution from leadership is, that's a question you'll have to answer. You're the experts, but
I'm asking you because you're remarking that you're saying what stands out to you is leadership. I'm questioning how in the execution of a planned offense, what are you ascribing leadership?
Well, I think it stems from his work ethic and people buying into that. And he doesn't complain about when the offensive line isn't at full strength and not blocking for him.
They have
it's
been.
All about the next play.
The pass protection's been phenomenal. The pass protection's been some of the best in the league.
Our offensive line is probably average in the NFL.
The pass protection.
He is a big reason why that offensive line is doing.
George,
the schemes that he's doing are the reason that.
George,
the offensive line is terrible.
George, according to Pro Football Focus, they've been one of the best pass protecting lines in the NFL.
that's because he can get rid of the ball real quickly, and he's a
that's not how they measure
first century quarterback. They don't know what they're talking about.
I think they kind of do.
I mean, they measure pretty well. We talked to Anthony Heron yesterday, and I think his
they've done a great job pass blocking this year.
Yeah, but remember his assessment. Heron's assessment of the offensive line has a lot to do with the scheme and the offensive sets in which they're using them to pass block. I mean, they're taking advantage of an athletic set that this offensive line has and moving the pocket a little bit and moving things laterally some. And Heron was of the opinion that they look a little bit better than perhaps they are true talent-wise on the offensive line. I get the leadership idea. I get that we're going to want to find – Bears fans are going to want to find things about Mitch, little idiosyncrasies that lead you to the leadership thing because you want that in your quarterback. That's just kind of a natural thing to have. If a guy is succeeding, you're going to want to find some things that make it even better than it is. It's just completely natural. But, you know, we talked about it on Monday – a couple of Bears fans had tweeted out video after Cody Parkey, I think, had clanged the third one off the upright. He walks over to the sideline. A bunch of his teammates.
Was it the third one or the fourth one?
I think it was the fourth one stood up. I think it was the third one that burnt down, fell into the swamp. I think it's the third one. He gets the butt tap from every one of his teammates. He gets the face mask knock from a couple of guys, and he's on the sideline, and Mitch is there talking to him for a good 45 seconds in the video I saw. To me, that is something. That is meaningful. I mean, there have been quarterbacks here wearing these jerseys
I don't want a damn to do
with that guy.
I just think there's so much to get done in the huddle.
I agree.
With a 20-word play to be called. I mean, I think that where you can see it is when he's checking off of something, when he's killing to something, when he's reading something that's happening in real time. If somehow that's imbuing everyone with grand confidence, then I'm certainly all for it.
It's entirely possible. Kyle Long, in seasons prior, has talked about his command, Trubisky's command of a huddle and exactly what that means. I was impressed with the no huddle and the kills to different plays in that first quarter against the Lions. Command of that offense is very important to me in evaluating Mitch, and he seems to have a good deal of it.
We have the Midday Midway coming up. I have a story that's going to make you squirm. I have something more interesting than just a fallen tree across a road. And I have a meeting tonight in Chicago to help take steps to save a Chicago institution that is imperiled.
I have a tale of a lobster, and we're going to talk about crying in basketball as well. It'll be in the Midday Midway next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.